There is some fascinating work right now being done by the Retail Systems Alert Group on some security. They are doing their annual survey, and one of the things they are now finding is that fewer than half the retailers today have a formal incident response plan for dealing with consumer data security breaches, which, if you think about it, is fairly stunning given a lot of the publicity that has happened over many consumer data incidents over the last few months. We have with us today Steve Rowan, one of the authors of those reports, with the Retail Systems Alert Group, actually the senior editor of the Extended Retail Industry Journal over in the group. And Steve, I want to welcome you to the discussion today. Can you give me an idea how in the world can more than half retailers, major retailers, possibly not even have a plan for dealing with consumer data security breaches today?
Yeah, it's a little unnerving. The way that we view the topic is that clearly retailers are collecting droves of data about their customers, and they're certainly storing it. And that's another line of questioning that we've gotten into is, you know, how long is this data stored for? But the real question is what are they doing to protect sensitive information about, you know, Joe consumer? For whatever reason, for whatever combination of reasons, whether it's, you know, the lack of apparent ROI in securing data, or the we're simply going to react once there's a reason to react, which seems to be a current trend. Most retailers are talking a great game about securing customer data, and for whatever reason, budgetary or the difficulty of an internal sell, not doing what they should be doing about it.
What is your speculation? Are we talking, I find it mind-boggling to suggest that they're not aware of the tremendous PR political sensitivities surrounding
right.
this issue. What is your opinion? Why do you think so many retailers are simply not even taking the time to concoct a plan?
It's interesting because if you talk to people on a personal level, whether they're at, say they're, you know, an IT employee, someone in, you know, network engineering that might be someone that would come and attend one of our events, they'll tell you that they see the value, that they certainly are, you know, shouting the warning calls within their organization, but that perhaps the warning is falling on deaf ears. It seems to be the type of thing that there's a disconnect between you know, line of business and IT on this particular matter, and whether that disconnect is, again, related to budget. Most people will, you know, when we have these conversations, they say, well, we want to stay out of the headlines. That seems to be the recurring theme. But from the research that we're doing, it doesn't appear that the proper measures are being taken to do so. So we've identified the topic as, you know, obviously a hot-button issue. It seems to be getting a lot of lip service and not a lot of action.
I think what they're seeing as well in the data is that really a truism in retail is the only thing that has grown faster than the proliferation of systems in retail is the amount of data that's collected and stored and being manipulated throughout the chain.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to get a handle on where all that data is because it gets stored in spreadsheets. It gets taken off of a variety of different systems and stored in things like Excel sheets, and those Excel sheets are all over the place.
Yes.
They may not be centrally stored. So it really comes down to trusting their employees, and that's a real tenuous security system at best.
Yeah, actually, that raises a really valid point that I know, Evan, you and I have spoken about before, which is the majority of breaches still do not result from a hacker or any type of sophisticated criminal, but the majority of these headline capturing breaches don't actually end up resulting in a case of stolen identity or identity theft, but are just negligence that leads to high profile media attention because this is now, as has been identified by the media, as a sexy topic.
There are variances by retailer type out there today in terms of, you know, protecting their data, you know, whether it be among tier one supermarkets versus department stores or what have you. Are you noticing differences among the different retail communities?
Actually, no, we're not.
Interesting.
The people that we're talking to represent, but it seems pretty even across all verticals.
But it's probably different, though, on scale of the size of the retailer.
Absolutely. But
yeah,
not by vertical, but by tier, yes.
Yeah, I think my experience has been that it's this mass retailing effect that we saw in the last 10 years simply have grown the business much farther than security could take care of it. The proliferation of data, once again, and the proliferation of employees and how many people are touching the data and internet to the stores and everybody having internet at their desk and access to all these systems, all of that has just gone way past what the security implementation organization or process within the organization is.
One of the things that you could theorize is that there are some execs who, no, they know full well the danger, they know what the issues are, they are scared to death to put together a committee to come up with a plan, rules, guidelines, because they know deep inside that it's going to mean they're going to have restrictions on how they can use the data, and if I put that off for a few more months, I can use the data any way our people want to for a little while longer until we get caught. It seems almost as though the last thing I want to do is do an audit of our systems because we know we're spending too much, and therefore we're going to have to do something about it. Let me put that off for a little while longer, and we'll continue to do what we're doing. Any of that, anyone on the panel, you think any of that is out there?
I think it has to do with kind of like going to the doctor. You know, if you're fat, you don't want to go to the doctor because you're afraid of what the doctor's going to say or what your labs are going to say, even though you're the very person that should be going to the doctor. And that kind of effect occurs here when it comes to retail data security is, man, if we go into this and we really dig into this, are we ready and prepared to find out what we would find out?
Some are afraid, just like going to the doctor or going through their budget, not only what they're going to find out, but the logical rules that are going to come out of it are going to be hands-off, are going to be delete this data after you use it. There are going to be a lot of things that their head of marketing is not going to want to hear. It's the right thing to do. It's a safe way to do. But there's going to be some unpleasant medicine at the end of that review, and that seems to be the most logical reason why retailers are holding off doing that.
And, you know, from the consumer's perspective, you know, those numbers are quite, you know, unnerving to an extent, but, you know, in many retail environments, say a supermarket like Shaw's or Stop and Shop, or you go to someplace like Staples, an office supply store, your hand as a consumer is forced because you know that you have, you know, that there's the potential for, you know, security breaches. But if you want the discount at many of these retailers or the sale price, you have to hand over your loyalty card. So it's kind of, you know, there's a little bit of a catch-22, but, you know, they're really forcing the hand of the consumer there.
Certainly, you know, the opt-in aspect, I mean, with some of the numbers that we looked at, I think it's something well above 60% of data is gathered via opt-in, and the other remainder of it is actually just at the point of sale. I think Greg brought up a really valuable point in that the amount of data that's being collected is unfathomable, and the real problem is where is it? I think an awful lot of times retailers are caught not really knowing what their own systems are, whether their motivation for not attacking this is a fear-based thing or a cost-based thing or a communication-based thing. It doesn't change the fact that there is a breakdown and a high level of siloed storage of this type of data, and that's hopefully what we'll be able to maybe, once we collect some data, hopefully it'll be a little more encouraging this year.
Yeah, when you have data that grows exponentially and staffing that grows, doesn't grow or even shrinks, it causes quite a problem on the security front. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, that's the effect of a Walmart or a giant in a particular area taking over so much of the marketplace. Everybody else is reacting to that, and many are reacting by cost cutting. And when you cost cut, one of the first things that goes is security. Just as the results are seen with security, one of the other problems is this proliferation of systems, and you've got all these new technologies coming into the marketplace, and retailers don't have the tools or the ability to organize all the business units within the organization that may be touched by it. We talk about RFID all the time, and one of the biggest hindrances to RFID is that retailers don't know what they're going to do with the data and how that will transform their overall business, and really don't have the tools in place to organize their groups and their different business units to actually find out the answers to that and put together a systematic plan for those kind of technologies. That may be a discussion for another day, but that is something that's clearly a major change, and we're seeing it dramatically with some of the things that we're doing with our toolkits on point of sale and TAP, simply providing an organizational structure that taps into the business unit process and the business processes throughout the organization, which ones get tapped by this new implementation, mm-hmm. and how do we get all those requirements into the new RFP that's going out so that when vendors respond, every business unit's concerns are already taken into consideration.
No, that's an absolute great point. You know, for a while, as you look at the RFID market, you say, oh, you could have somebody from IT and operations, you know, being internal champions at the end user site, you know, around RFID when you start talking about it. And I've, you know, adjusted my own thinking lately to say, now you need even somebody from marketing there as you start looking at promotions management and things like that. So, yeah, it's touching multiple business units within the retailer, and you need champions from each of those business units to really embrace the value proposition of RFID. That's a great point.
I mean, we're working on a POS deal. We just completed a POS deal with a major theater chain, and they had every business unit that was touched by that POS implementation in the room scoring the demos and scoring the vendors. They scored the RFP responses, and in the process of having something that organizes people, they were able to take a process that's typically 12 months or more, and they were able to go from start, hey, I need a new POS system, to I've selected the vendor in about 65 days. So taking about 8 months out of the process by doing that. There's a lot of power in those kind of processes. Those tools are not widely available out there today in the retail market.
Yeah, talk about getting buy-in across the board. That's great.